Okay. Okay. Let's call to order the regular board meeting for May 2nd. Roll call, please.
I'll give people a second to get to their places on the roll for the Board of Directors meeting of May 2nd, 2018. Director Abe-Koga, Director Barrett, Director Bowders, Director Canepa, Director Chavez, Director Cutter, Director Joya, Director Groom,
present.
Director Haggerty, Director Kim, Director Niss, Director Miley, Director Mitchoff, Director Ju, Director Ronan, Director Ross, Director Sanchez, Director Sparing, Director Wagon Connect, Director Zane, Secretary Sinks, Vice Chair Rice, Chair Hudson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Very good. And my total comments are to remind everybody, May 16th, the meeting is canceled. 18th? 16th. Don't be sorry that I'm right. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, consent calendar items, generally routine in nature. Anybody want to pull one? Marcy, any cards to pull any item? Do I have a motion? Holy cow, I had a motion, Wagon Connect, and a bunch of seconds over here. Is it Pete Sanchez? Okay, Pete Sanchez got the second. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Seeing none. Committee reports. Chair Groom, you have the budget and finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Budget and Finance Committee met on Wednesday, April 25th, approved the minutes of March 28th. The committee reviewed and discussed the continued discussion of fiscal year ending 2019 proposed Air District budget and consideration to recommend adoption. The committee recommends that the board adopt the fiscal year ending 2019 proposed budget and adopt a funding policy for the California Pension Employees Retirement System to achieve 90% funding within 20 years. The committee then reviewed and discussed the third quarter financial report. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation of discussion of budget processes for fiscal year ending 2020. The next meeting will be June 27th, 2018. The Budget Committee recommends that on June 6th, this board pass the Budget and Finance Committee, pass the budget. Based on some of our conversations today, we may make some changes in June 6th, but the Budget Committee does believe that the basic content of the budget is what we should be passing. Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion from...
No, that's a motion for June 6th.
Okay.
Yeah. Not for today.
You don't need a motion for... To adopt, okay.
No.
Don't need a motion. We're good. On to a mobile source committee report. Chair Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee met on Thursday, April 26, 2018, approved the minutes of February 22, 2018. The committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation projects and contracts with proposed grant awards over $100,000. The committee recommends the board, one, approve the Carl Memorial Program Transportation Fund for Clean Air Projects with proposed grant awards over $100,000. As shown in attachment one, to adopt resolutions authorizing the Air District to accept, obligate, and award and expend new funding for the Carl Memorial Program, State Reserve Program, and the Funding Agriculture Reduction Measures for Emissions Reductions Program. Three, authorize the Air District to accept, obligate, and expend new funding from Low Carbon Fuel Standard Mitigation Funding Program. And four, authorize the Executive Officer, Air Pollution Control Officer, to enter into all necessary agreements with applicants for the recommended projects and the new funding. The committee then reviewed and discussed the staff presentation fiscal year ending 2019 Transportation Fund for Clean Air Funding Allocation. The committee recommends the board, one, allocate $15.03 million in Transportation Fund for Clean Air monies to the programs and projects listed in Table 1. Authorize the proposed effectiveness limits for the air district-sponsored programs and projects listed in Table 2, and authorize the Executive Officer, Air Pollution Control Officer, to enter into funding agreements with contracts at up to $100,000 for projects and programs listed in Table 1. Finally, the committee reviewed and discussed the staff presentation, fiscal year ending 2019 Transportation Fund for Clean Air County Program Manager Expenditure Funds. And, I got to take this. The committee recommends the board, where's my vice chair? Canepa, finish the list, please. I'm going to approve the allocation. Hold on one second. I got it. The approved allocation for fiscal year ending 2019 Fund for Clean Air County Program Manager Expenditure Funds listed in Table 1, and authorize the Executive Air Pollution Control Officer to enter in funding agreements program managers for total funds to be programmed fiscal year 2019 listed in Table 1. The next committee meeting of the Mobile Source will be held on Thursday, May 24, 2018 at 9:30 at our offices in San Francisco. I move the board approve the Mobile Source Committee recommendations. This concludes the chair's report of the Mobile Source Committee.
Okay, a motion Haggerty, second Canepa. Okay, I'll go ahead, comment.
Can I ask a couple questions? One is, thank you for the report. Yeah, there you go. Just a couple things I wanted to ask about or make recommendations to think about. One is it's pretty exciting, the direction of looking at the clean air vehicle options for purchase, especially as we're combining that with low-income communities. Two things I would like the staff to consider. One is whether or not we think there's a way to grow the program with a banking partner. And what I'm specifically interested in is that right now one of the challenges we have, particularly with low-income communities, is borrowing at an exorbitant rate for car purchases. And there are two things that strike me about the new investments. One is that we are going to need, I think we're going to continue to see an evolution in the way especially local communities are thinking about banking and investment. So I think this is an opportunity for us to potentially even partner with another organization that's doing low-income financing so that we can, again, expand that pot instead of just buying, potentially even leasing over a longer period of time, vehicles. And then the second thing I wanted to recommend is that there's a really great book that many of you have probably read who've been doing this work a lot longer than me around clean disruption. And the author is somebody from Los Angeles named Tony Seba, who has been doing a lot of work around looking at the speed of technology changes relative to the type of energy usage. And his point, just to sum this up, is his point isn't that we're going to make big changes in energy use because oil's getting expensive or it's hard to get out of the ground, but really that technology in really what a number of people were predicting, that technology and clean energies was going to start to create economic opportunities that don't exist. In any case, it's part of his presentation that's made me think differently about a number of types of investments that you know, as boards I'm sitting on, that I'm starting to think, wow, should we be leasing instead of owning? Should we be looking at new financing mechanisms because it allows us to spread, to hold money longer so that we can continue to make these kinds of investments. In any case, I'm sorry it's not more clearly thought out than that, but just something that I've been kicking around.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
May I? And then the second point I was just kind of excited about in this report was really around some of the challenges with finding ways to spend money because of the restrictions that the state has limited us to with some of these pockets of money. And I wondered if that's besides needing the state to make changes, if we think there's enough flexibility in the rules today that we may want to do some sort of an RFI or, you know, just to ask people, given these parameters, what kinds of opportunities do you see that we could be making investments in? And again, this may be something that we want to work with the TIO committee on, but it seems like there's an opportunity there. And part of the reason I'm saying that is that I think the idea of going back to the legislature for a new set of boxes is just It just sounds painful. Maybe it'll be less painful than it sounds, but that doesn't seem true to me. Thank you.
Okay. You're waiting for a response, or Cindy? Okay, good. Member Joya or Dave?
Yeah, relative to the first point, we will be bringing back a presentation on that particular program to the Mobile Source Committee at its next committee meeting. The low income and the loan area is something that we are investigating. So we're not quite there yet. We're looking at some of the partners that have operated these programs in other areas to see if there's a ready-made solution there, but it's something that we're conscious of. And then relative to the other point, you know, you do make a good point regarding the restrictions and how we interact with the folks who get these grants is we do survey them to see what would be more helpful for them in the future. So we have some of that data available. But the RFI idea is something that we can also explore.
Member Joya?
I appreciate Cindy's comment about this issue of low-income programs. I wanted to make sure you're aware, and I know I think we should piggyback onto this. So the State Air Board just, as you know, last year made $1 million available to a nonprofit in the Bay Area that is running exactly such a program. And it's a pilot program. And as it works, the idea is to put tens of millions of dollars into it. So it's called CHDC, which is Community Housing Development Corporation of North Richmond. They are doing this work Bay Area wide, and it's work in the designated communities. $1 million is not a lot of money, and it's basically either grants or low interest loans to low income residents to buy cleaner vehicles. And what they're finding is most low income residents are buying hybrids because many don't have the pure charging ability for a pure electric. So there is such a program. I would suggest that if that program works, since that may get tens of millions of dollars of state funding, that we look at how to build on an existing program rather than create a whole new program. So I wanted to point out, since you didn't mention that program exists, it does. We had a big Right Press announcement of it last year, and they're rolling out, and they're getting low-income residents, whether they live in San Francisco or East Bay, into these vehicles. So I appreciate this is a really great point you mentioned. So how do we sort of coordinate the two? Because there will be a lot more pots of funding available if this works.
Okay, Vice Chair, or let her finish up if they're on the same thing.
And so just to follow up on that, I think that's very exciting. And I would just hope that maybe the Stationary Source Committee could get an update on how the program's working, because it's probably
right.
got some
yeah.
loans out.
Right.
And then the second thing I would just be interested in understanding is whether or not the framework of such a program is something that we could partner with credit unions mm-hmm. to start to that way you
there
could
actually
really
is a credit union is Travis I think it's Travis Credit Union I think is
that's
part
a
of
partner.
This
partner
yeah
Absolutely.
They're a partner
you need a
in
banking
this
partner.
Yeah they're a partner
but part of the reason I'm mentioning that is that I think that the credit unions around the area
yeah.
are really being undercut by the predatory lenders
right.
and this may be an opportunity
yeah.
to sort of address a few issues at the same time.
That's great. No, and I think
yeah.
as
you.
This rolls out more, I think that's a great thing. Right.
Okay, Vice Chair Rice.
Yes, this is on the Mobile Source. Did I understand you to say, Damien, or maybe I heard someone else, that you're going to do a fleshed out presentation to Mobile Source on the EV charging sort of environment more generally? There was a bunch of grants that were part of this last cycle that went out for EV charging.
Yes, that present. So the EV area has expanded so much that we are breaking it off in chunks and bringing it to committee in chunks. So
okay.
we started out this year with a general presentation on the lay of the land. We're going to tackle the community grants portion of it and the lower income grants at the next committee. And then throughout the year, we're going to roll this out in chunks. But that's one of the elements we're going to be working on.
Okay,
for me,
it's very timely because we're having a discussion at the county level around who's taking the lead on sort of that EV charging landscape and grid. Is it the CMA? Is it the is it MCE? Is it the county? There's a lot of sort of who goes first, who's on second, who actually wants to own this. I think that the analysis and the presentations you may be making to Mobile Source might be helpful to the general body. And so I would ask the chair of Mobile Source to consider maybe at some point if there isn't something that could come to the full board on that subject, and I would leave it to you. But I would also say, Damien, I think that at the local level, we could use some help on some outreach as to what exactly the Air District can do to help at the local level build out our own grant programs and or planning around EV charging going forward. So thank you.
So just one thing on that, and all of you should know this. We have an EV coordinated council that we've been operating for the last 6 years. Most of your local jurisdictions are members of it, and it's important that they engage there actively, because not only are you working on this, VW are out there working on this, PG&E have now been granted funding for both light-duty and heavy-duty vehicles. The Air District is working in this space, and the worst thing that we could do...
And Electrify America,
fail.
Volkswagen.
I mentioned those first. Yeah. But the worst thing we could do would be to all start funding the same thing or work in the same areas. So if your jurisdictions or your folks are not involved in that, and we're happy to give you a list of the names of the folks who are, please tell them that that's somewhere they should come to get some information, because, as I said, there's a lot happening in this space now.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the report. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstained? Seeing none, let's do the Sonoma and Napa, or Napa and Sonoma Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if you recall, about 6 months ago, of course, we experienced the very devastating wildfires in the North Bay. And since that time, the staff has actually been working with both Sonoma and Napa counties in their recovery efforts. And what this item is about is to be able to have the board move $3 million from the reserves over so that we could fund a program in which we've been designing and developing with both Sonoma and Napa counties. I'm going to hand it over to Wayne Keno, because it's his efforts and his staff efforts that have really been championing this effort since that time. I also just want to make sure the board knows that we plan to, closer to the fall timeframe, have a very expanded conversation with the board about lessons learned during the fires, what steps we're going to be taking in preparation for the fire season. And so look for that, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, to be scheduled probably in the September timeframe prior to the fall season.
Fire. Correct.
Wayne?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that October meeting or October-September meeting will also include things like, a year-round wood smoke program that the board had asked us to look at, which includes, additional prescribed burning, additional chipping programs, that sort of thing. So it's going to expand beyond it to fire prevention, wildfire prevention, too. So it's pretty exciting to expand that greatly. And so with that, I'd like to introduce Patrick Winzinger of our staff to present this Sonoma and Napa Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program.
You're up, Patrick.
Good morning, Chair Hudson and members of the board. I'm presenting agenda item number 6, the Sonoma and Napa Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program. In my presentation, I'll start with some background, then I'll discuss the Recovery Assistance Program funding structure, followed by a description of the program in Sonoma, after which I'll cover next steps, and then I'll conclude with staff's recommendations. On October 21st, 2015, the Board of Directors adopted amendments to Regulation 6.3, wood burning devices, to protect residents from the health impacts of wood smoke and wood smoke pollution. As of the November 1st, 2016, this regulation bans the installation of wood burning devices in new construction. On April 19th, 2017, the Board of Directors adopted the new Bay Area Clean Air Plan. The plan includes strategies to make buildings more energy efficient and to make space and water heating cleaner. The devastating October 2017 wildfires destroyed over 5,500 residences in Sonoma and Napa counties. At the January retreat, the Board of Directors set aside $3 million and directed staff to develop an assistance program to aid the fire rebuild effort in the North Bay communities. Staff outreach to local officials and agencies in Sonoma and Napa, including the counties, the City of Santa Rosa, Sonoma Clean Powder, Marin Clean Energy, and PG&E to determine what efforts were underway and what support was needed. Staff identified a shortfall in funding to incentivize and encourage energy efficiency and improved air quality measures in the rebuilding of homes. Now I would like to talk about the Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program. Of the $3 million in Air District funds, staff proposes to allocate $2 million to Sonoma and $1 million to Napa. The funds will be used to provide rebates for the components listed on the chart, including solar panel systems with battery storage capacity, heat pump HVAC systems, heat pump water heaters. We selected to fund these components because they are consistent with Reg 6.3 and the goals set in the Clean Air Plan. This slide shows the total funding available for the Sonoma Clean Power Advanced Energy Rebuild Program and the maximum rebates by project type. The integrated program provides participants access to multiple funding sources through one application process. In addition to the components on the previous slide, participants may receive a rebate for a wide range of project components, including high-performance walls, attics, windows, and heating and cooling ducts, cool roofs, water-efficient plumbing, and energy-saving appliances. Next steps. If the board approves staff recommendations, the Air District will execute the grant agreement with Sonoma Clean Power. Staff will work with Marin Clean Energy and Napa County to establish a similar program for Napa County residents. Later this year, staff will develop options for a year-round wood smoke program and will provide an update on the 2017 wildfire response lessons learned. In conclusion, staff recommends that the Board of Directors amend the fiscal year ending 2018 budget to transfer $3 million in general reserve funds into the Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program and authorize the executive officer to execute necessary grant agreements with partner agencies to implement the Wildfire Recovery Assistance Program. This concludes my presentation, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Patrick. Any comments or questions? Shirley Zane?
Yeah, thank you, Patrick. I appreciate the district's work on this. We are still in very much a world of hurt. I would say at least 40% of the people who lost their homes, and we're looking at about 5,200 homes lost, and then another 2,000 facilities and businesses. And about 40% have decided they're probably not going to rebuild. So providing any type of incentive program to assist people in that rebuilding is really, really critical right now. And a lot of people are deciding not to rebuild because their insurance companies will not cover the cost of the rebuilding. Either that or they're just tired, maybe they're older, they're looking at moving it to a different place, and they don't really have the energy to rebuild. So even though our county is doing everything we can to get permits and help people rebuild, and I've got a town hall meeting with all kinds of resources on Monday night, it has been really difficult. And I don't know if you guys are coming to the town hall meeting, but I would like to make a formal invitation. It's at the Glacier Center from 6 to 8, and we will have experts in all the subject matters, so you guys need to be there and help answer questions. I think it would be great, and maybe I'll talk to you afterwards in terms of some contact people. But you can talk to Michelle Whitman, my assistant, too, who's been organizing with this. Anyway, thank you for this. It means every bit of dollars we can get to help people want to rebuild is important. I think, you know, after 6 months, there's a lot of despair, and we want to acknowledge that despair, and we want to acknowledge it by also providing some hopefulness. But as I've said before, hope has a time limit, and that's why we need to help people get back on their feet again. So I am going to move when it comes that time to make that amendment.
Now, you can move it now, and then Mr. Wagon Connect can second it, and he has some comments.
Yes.
So we have a motion for the Board of Directors, the recommendation in front of us from Shirley Zane, and a second from Mr. Wagon Connect, and you had something to say.
Absolutely. Thank you. We've got out of our 500 or more homes, a little bit more than 500 homes that we had burn. 42 of them have gotten their permits to rebuild. We have similar demographics that you do. A third to 40% are looking at not doing it themselves, selling it off, but somebody will be rebuilding there. And to do this as efficiently as we possibly can, and working with MCE in Napa County, and is the Napa County, the foundation, have you worked with, because they've added some money, gotten some money to be added into that, and that might be helpful to have into that whole package. So thank you, and I appreciate the concern from the whole board.
Thank you, Brad. Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the recommendation. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, abstained. Hearing none, let's move on to the closed session, a conference with the real property negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8 to discuss acquisition of real property on the Richmond Parkway and to confer with legal counsel on anticipated litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B1. We will be back shortly thereafter. I want to say Walla Walla 6 when you put all these things together, but
there's more of us than for the audience.
No. still have another hour for his orientation.
He has an orientation?
Yeah.
I'm going to call you Huddy.
I used to be called Huddy. Whatever
when
it takes.
When there was that A's?
Oh, yeah.
Huddy.
Yeah. What a signature he has, too. He went to the Giants, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Tim Hudson.
Yep. We good, Marcy? Give me a win. We don't need them. We're good? We're good? Okay, we're back in open session. We met in closed session for a conference with our real property negotiator, and we gave him direction, and we met in closed session conference with our legal counsel on anticipated litigation. No action was taken. We're on to public comments for non-agenda items. Now's the time for all of those people out. What? We're not up? No cards? You sure? Can't we talk anybody into it? Last call. Public comment is closed. We are on to, where are we? Board member comments. Anyone got a light on? Seeing no lights, we've already chatted. Let's move on to the report of the executive director.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I just have a few items I wanted to cover. First, the summer smog season, I believe, has just begun yesterday. You'll start to see part of our outreach campaign. But more importantly, there's a lot of press out there alerting folks to take transit and take other steps as the weather heats up and we start to experience elevated levels of smog. I wanted to also mention, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, we have our annual report is in front of you. We do this every year, and I just wanted to recognize Lisa Fasano for some great work here. She's back there. And she tells me it's going to be online next week. Is that right, Lisa? Okay. Number three, is 1118. You all remember we adopted that last November. We had our first implementation meeting earlier this week. Very successful meeting. I want to thank Damian Breen and his staff for hosting the first of what will likely be many meetings to work through the implementation issues of that important regulation. Finally, I want to mention, if you recall at your last board meeting under my report, we had a conversation about a protocol that we want to put in place to deal with and handle resolutions that are brought in to the board as part of rulemaking. We heard a lot of comments and by the board. I took that back, talked with our district council. I think the steps we're going to be taking now is we're going to be bringing back to the executive committee, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is to really work through and recommend to you that we have a set of changes to our administrative code. That way we can institutionalize those changes and a set of practices for the board. And typically what that means is that the executive committee will work through that process. It'll be a recommendation to the full board. Once that's done, the full board will then see it as part of their consent calendar. And you have to go through two board meetings in order to make any changes to the administrative code. So that's how I thought we could move forward on those issues, and look for that at your next executive committee meeting. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's my report.
Thank you. On the chairperson's report on April 23rd, just a couple of weeks ago, I attended a WISPA luncheon with the executive officer. Very exciting. Brought up 1118 because they wouldn't. Just a reminder, please send Vanessa a copy of your flight itinerary for those of you going to Alma no later than May 18th. Let's say May 8th, and then when they're late, we can let it slide. May 16th, Board of Directors meeting is canceled, as I told you, and I have asked John Joya to give a special CARB report to finish up the chairperson's report.
Thank you. I'm just going to make a very brief comment about the lawsuit that California filed yesterday, since there's been a lot of sort of publicity around that. As you all know, California, through the governor's office, the attorney general, and the California Air Resources Board, joined 16 other states and the District of Columbia in challenging a recent action by the EPA. And to note, this is a bipartisan group of states that represent about 43% of the car market in the United States. And recently, it's sort of technical. There are fuel standards and GHG standards for cars. And the standards that are in place through 2025, that's what's at stake. So there are standards for GHG emissions and fuel standards that cover the period 2022 to 2025. There was a midterm review of these standards that the US EPA and the California Air Resources Board both approved early last year. So a year later, the EPA reverses its ruling, saying its intention to adopt different standards, less stringent standards. Right now, there's one national program where the California standards and the national standards are one and the same. So the EPA's action potentially creates a situation where there will be two standards, one covering California and about 12 other states, and one covering the other states. If that happens, car makers will then have to sort of, look at how they manufacture vehicles for two standards. Nobody wants that, right? Nobody wants to have two standards. These coalition of states challenged EPA's determination last month, which sort of set aside their January 2017 determination and their intention to look at new rules. They haven't adopted new rules yet. They haven't changed the rules, but this is the first step in EPA's action to try to change the rules, and that's what's been challenged. So just wanted to clarify what that meant. We will see where that goes. The EPA has not yet taken any action to revoke California's waiver. California has a waiver under the Clean Air Act to make its own standards. They haven't challenged that yet. So what's been at stake is the EPA possibly changing the 2025 GHG emission and mileage standards.
We now have a comment on the chairperson's report. Just a reminder, this is not agendized, but I think we're going to agendize CARB in the future, just like mobile source, stationary source, so that we can do more in-depth. Go ahead, Secretary Sinks.
Thank you. I wanted to let everybody know that we had a productive meeting. Liz Niss and I, representing the cities of Santa Clara County on this board, had a very productive discussion with Chris Moylan, who's the deputy director for Ro Khanna's office, who's been working to champion the odor issues that we have continuing and have had for many, many years in Milpitas, also may impact Fremont and parts of San Jose and Santa Clara. So. We talked about a whole range of potential steps we could take to diagnose the problems, which come from a variety of sources. Getting a tour, I just want to let others know, Cindy, that we had that meeting, and we're interested in seeing how the Air District can play a role in helping mitigate impacts there. And I appreciate very much, Wayne, Jack, your taking time to meet with us and propose, be constructive about what we ought to be doing. Thank you.
Thank you. I really like this, Leslie. You guys do the greatest reports. Pretty little pictures. Jack using his high school pictures. They're really neat. Last, the Board of Directors' regular meeting will be on Wednesday, June 6th at 9:30 a.m. here at 375 Beale. This meeting's adjourned. And we have to sign some.